Adam, thank you so much for hopping on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So Adam is the author of The ABCs of Jiu-Jitsu, which everybody should go and get a copy if you want to show the camera.
Do I show here?
Yeah, sure. So what gave you the inspiration to do The ABCs of Jiu-Jitsu? And actually, so just to let you guys know, Adam is a black belt in Jiu-Jitsu, phenomenal instructor. I met him through Victory MMA, where I trained Jiu-Jitsu. And yeah, excellent, excellent coach, excellent person. So what was your inspiration behind the book?
So we started this during COVID. And COVID in California, there was a very long pause. Our gym was closed for a long time. So I was trying to figure out a way, like, okay, how can I get some income and at the same time do something that I really enjoy? And I had been teaching kids already for a long time at Victory. And I always talked about, like, one day I'm just going to make a book so I can answer all these questions.
Yeah.
Parents would come to me. They would say, okay, what's this? And new kids would come to me. And they would say, okay, like, what's the first couple things you need to learn? Like, even adults. And this is just a kind of general roadmap of the first things that you would need to learn. Like, if you had no idea about jiu-jitsu,
yeah,
this would be a good guide to at least get you started. Like, some of the etiquette, some of the techniques, just things that you learn in, like, your first few months, I would say.
Right.
Just kind of put into a book form.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, it's really good. I bought a copy when they first came out, and it's really well done. So for those people that are thinking about getting into jiu-jitsu, right? I know a lot of people are sitting on the sidelines looking in, and even myself. I probably, before I started in, you know, 2019, 2020, I thought about it for years, and I just finally decided just to go do it. But what advice you have for somebody to maybe even pick a gym or just get started?
It's not like it used to be. There's really, it's a little bit hard to find like one of those fake McDojo gyms.
Yeah.
They get weeded out pretty quickly.
Okay.
So you can Google anything around you. It should be legit and just get in there. And a lot of these gyms, they have week trials. So give it a week. See if you like the instructor. See if it's your fit. And if you don't like it, like, try somewhere else. But I'm a huge advocate for jiu-jitsu. For kids, for adults. Like, I'm a little biased, but I can't think of anything that just encompasses so many positive things.
Yeah.
As jiu-jitsu does. All in one.
Right. Yeah.
For your health, for your mind.
It's crazy what it'll do, because I've seen so many people start at the gym and they come in a little heavier set. Even myself, I cut a lot of fat when I first started training, because you come in and all of a sudden you're just at a, you know, caloric deficit,
yeah,
and you're training super hard and you start to kind of eat a little healthier and maybe drink a little more water. And then all of a sudden you see like these guys come in and they're kind of pudgy. And then all of a sudden, like 6 months later, you're like, dude, this is a different person.
Uh-huh. Yeah, totally.
What do you think that is? Like, what do you think contributes to that the most? Is it diet, change of environment, everything?
It's all like one big ball. Like, it's you get to jiu-jitsu, you get beat up.
Yeah.
You want to do better. You don't want to get beat up as much. And there's a lot that goes into that. You have to show up. And you're like, man, if I don't drink on Friday, I can go in on Saturday and train. And you eat better, you know, like it's what you put in your gas tank. You're not
right.
Putting trash in there. And people become like a little obsessed and dedicated to just improving. And I think it's great for them. Like just all that together.
Right. You know? Yeah. So what's the path like from white belt to blue belt? Like, for the average person who's maybe looking in, what should they expect?
Everyone's different. Like, your 20-year-old wrestler is going to be kind of different expectations from your 50-year-old dad with four kids.
Right.
But the coach should be able to tell based on the individual, like, okay, do you have enough knowledge here to be a blue belt? And honestly, like, I run a beginner program, and what I tell people is, okay, there's techniques in jiu-jitsu where if you didn't know these and you were a blue belt, people would question that blue belt.
Mm.
They're like, like a triangle or an arm bar or a rear naked choke, if you didn't know what those were,
yeah,
and you were walking around with a blue belt,
yeah,
anybody that knows anything would be like, who gave you that thing?
Right.
You know, so definitely that's just those basic techniques and escapes. I say there's four basic positions: guard, side control, mount, back. And that's usually where you start. You learn those four positions. And then you learn an escape from each of those. Like, how do you get out of side control? And how do you pass the guard? How do you get out of mount? If someone's on your back, how do you get them off? And then if you learn a few escapes, then you learn at least one submission. So that way, when you're rolling, you're not in one of these basic positions and you're not lost. Like, someone's on your back and you're not just like, duh, what do I do?
Yeah.
At least you know something you can do.
Right.
You know? And after you learn an attack and an escape, you're pretty set. And then you build yourself like a little arsenal. Like, add two things, three things, and then you start chaining things together. But blue belt is just pretty much the basics of that. Just, okay, do you know these basic positions? And how do you do against the other blue belts? Like, if a black belt gives you a blue belt, his name's attached to that.
Yeah.
You know? So nobody wants to see you go to a different school and train and get beat up by all their white belts.
Yeah.
That would be like, that wouldn't look good on the instructor, on the academy. So I always say, like, okay, you're a blue belt. All right, like, we'll give you a blue belt in like 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, you might be there, but we'll give it to you in a few months. Make sure, like, you want to stick around.
Yeah.
Make sure you still want to train.
Why do so many people quit at blue belt?
It's the blue belt blues.
Is it like they get that I'm not a white belt anymore, and then?
I think maybe it's just like the first milestone.
Yeah.
For people.
Yeah.
I don't understand the mentality. I was like, I'm going to do this forever.
But I did notice that when I got my blue belt, I felt that hunger, like that chase, yeah, kind of go away a little bit.
Yeah,
so
that's funny.
But not like I still train, you know, but, you know, I was training like twice a day at one point when I first got my, you know, when I first started training, mm-hmm, for a while, and then, you know, but life happens and, yeah.
It's an epidemic.
Yeah.
Losing blue belts.
Oh no, nobody's losing me. I'm chasing, you know.
How long you been a blue belt?
Like maybe a year now, almost a year.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So I competed 4 times. I actually competed against one of your guys once.
Oh really?
Yeah. My first competition.
Oh really?
Yeah. This, dude looked like Jorge Masvidal. You know who I'm talking about?
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I know Jorge, but I think I know the student that you're talking
about.
Well,
his name is George.
George, yeah.
Because when he walked in, it was at City Heights, and uh-huh, Shannon was coaching me obviously, and I remember seeing you. I don't know if maybe you were just coaching the kids. Mm-hmm. Actually, you know what? Dean Lister was there coaching this kid. So I was like, I walk up, all of a sudden I'm like, fucking Dean Lister's guy? Yeah, like, great, so you know?
And he's got the funniest coaching style.
Yeah.
If you're down and there's like 10 seconds left, if you're down like on points or like you're losing in a bad position, he'll scream, do the secret move.
No secret move.
And if it's Dean Lister screaming that, you're like, what's the secret move?
Yeah, you freak out a little bit.
It doesn't exist. Just every time he screams that, I crack up.
Yeah. So what advice do you have for somebody that's maybe a white belt looking to do their first tournament?
It's like I said, as long as you're aware that, okay, there's four positions. Like, you don't want to be in a basic position and be totally lost.
Right.
But once you, do you know how to pass the guard? Okay, cool. Do you know a submission from side control? If someone gets on top of you, I'm out. Do you know how to get them off? At least try. You might not get them off, but as long as you're not just sitting there not doing anything, like some kind of awareness of what to do.
Right.
Then I have no problem teaching, like telling someone that, hey man, go ahead, like go test yourself. And it's, you know, the only, you never know, but you should at least, I don't recommend people like brand new just going out there, because if you win, it's lose-lose.
Yeah.
If you win, it's just, your mind is like, oh man, I didn't even have to train for this and I can win. Like,
yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah.
And if you lose, you kind of have an out. You can be like, well, I didn't even train for this.
So right.
I don't even care. Like I always say, if you're going to get ready for a tournament, like, train for it, prepare for it.
Yeah.
I know.
my first tournament, I got smoked. And it, you know what sucked is I knew that if I saw those guys at an open mat or anywhere else, like I would tear them up. Yeah. But there was such a mental, I realized that I was a lot more mentally weak than I expected myself to be. But so I competed four times at white belt. And my first one, I got smoked. Like by one of them was a 17-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And he had no business beating me. I was better than both of them. Yeah. But I wasn't because I lost. And my next tournament, I was in a really small, it was a really small tournament. I only had one person in my division. Mm. And he beat me twice. We had two, one gi, one no gi. And that was it. And, I did a lot better, but I still lost. And then my third one, I did phenomenal. My fourth one, I did really, really good.
Yeah.
And actually, my third one, I got DQ'd.
Oh, for what?
This guy and I kind of got into it. And they just said that we were going a little hard, but it was this Brazilian ref that was hating on us from the get-go. Yeah. And there was some kind of beef. I don't know. We definitely had a light on us that... Uh-huh. Yeah, but I did when I reviewed the footage, and they even took it to the head dude at the the head Brazilian guy, they showed the video, and he was like, he got DQ'd for that, and he was like, what do you mean? Yeah, and then the lady who DQ'd me was like way over there, and all of a sudden I just see her go again? Like that. He's like, sorry, can't do anything about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She didn't DQ me again. She was just telling him like, fuck this guy,
Totally.
But yeah. But
I've only seen one time where the head ref came over in 28, 30 years of doing jiu-jitsu, where the head ref came over and said, like, the ref was wrong. And,
really?
Yeah. Reversed it.
Yeah.
Usually once the ref makes a decision, it's like, okay, that's it.
Yeah, it was crazy because they not only DQ'd me from that, but they DQ'd me from two other ones from earlier in the day. Like, they went in the system and, like, I don't know if they just wanted me to drop rank or what, but that kind of pissed me off.
That's lame.
It's whatever. Like,
you pay for them.
Yeah.
It's like no warning, no nothing. That's lame.
I think they did give us a warning, but it was the guy and I were like going for collar ties.
It was
and
like
he,
slapping kind of, they were thinking. Like, not, they were, it was like,
I was just trying to like pull him down. And I think she just thought, and we got a little heated because he like poked me in the eye and then he kind of like slapped me.
Yeah.
He was just being kind of a dick. And it was one of those things. But, but my fourth time, and I did gi and no gi, so that's a lot.
It's like, a long day.
Yeah. Like 12 matches.
I've
like,
done that a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that. I've done that and coached.
Oh, man.
Yeah, those are long days.
Yeah.
Long days.
It's cool because about the halfway point before you go from like gi to no gi or whatever it is, my brain was like, just say you're hurt or just say that you're, you know, everything is telling me to stop. And the best feeling in the world is when. You know, you win almost all of your matches, and at the end of the day, you get done. You go smash a burrito, and that's
the mental is. I recommend once everyone does enough jiu-jitsu, like compete, like at least who cares?
Yeah,
who cares if you get beat up? Like compete, just so you can understand. If you're gonna be one day like helping people or coaching people. Like, you have to know what that mental part feels like, what they're going through mentally. Like, there's highs and lows of being like, I didn't want to do this. Like, I could just go home.
Yeah, what am I doing here? Yeah, I'm not getting paid for this.
Totally. But getting out there and doing it, and it's a huge part of improvement.
Right.
And jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. Yeah, my first tournament, I remember I couldn't sleep the night before. I looked up all my opponents. I found them on Instagram. I'm like, damn, these guys are like, this dude wrestled in college. Yeah, like, totally. These guys are going to be, you know.
Bad idea.
Yeah, and then I realized, like, when I get there, I can see they're just as nervous.
Totally, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I tell especially the kids. Like, they're nervous, too.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know jiu-jitsu. Just get out there and try your best and have fun. You know, it's you win or you learn.
Yeah.
You know, say that to kids all the time.
Right.
And it's true. And whenever... After the kids are done competing, I have the same speech, same formula. Okay, write down three things that you think you need to work on, and we'll work on them this week. Like, and it shows like, okay, this is more about improving and self-reflection than it is about actually winning and doing a tournament.
Yeah.
Like, how can I make myself better?
Right.
You know? That takes some of the pressure off too.
Right.
It's like, we're just here to learn.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it's I wish I had jiu-jitsu as a kid because I played sports and, you know, a little bit of wrestling and stuff, but jiu-jitsu is something that teaches you so much about life, I've learned. So you know, like, I mean, you know, and even when you compete, you realize that, that the way that you handle that stress and pressure, and then, you know, when I went to my second, third, and fourth tournament, each time got so much easier. So in life, too, you realize that a lot of life is the same way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There's, to me, there's nothing closer to, like, just all the lessons you learn from jiu-jitsu being applied to just everyday life.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I played football. It wasn't about, like, improving my life outside of that.
Yeah.
It was, like, about football. But jiu-jitsu and martial arts, they go hand in hand.
Right. Like,
okay, this applies in the gym, but it also applies to your life. Are you having difficulty? Are you stuck in something? What do? Do you freak out or do you take a breath and calm down and try something else?
Yeah.
Like, it's jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. Yeah. The take a breath is a big one. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you see, like, you know, brand new white belts come in and they just, and they go crazy, yeah, you know, and it's crazy how looking at it now as like a still relatively new blue belt, like, mm-hmm. when they come in, it's like, holy shit. Like, I was just like that when I came in.
Everybody.
You know, and then you learn to just breathe and slow down. And even when you're in a bad position, like, staying cool, mm-hmm. and not, you know.
Like, you got to get past that drowning
feeling. Yeah, yeah.
You're, like, stuck in a bad spot. You feel like you're drowning. You want to freak out.
Yeah.
But once you realize how to calm down, like, it's huge. It's a huge milestone.
Right.
You get past in jiu-jitsu. Just relax. You see the best guys. And they're going, and their facial expression just never changes.
Yeah.
It's never like, ah, it's just.
Just a serious. You know,
serious, yeah. Just that stoic, like, relaxed, just meditative kind of state.
Right, yeah.
Could you move a little closer to the mic?
Mm-hmm. Here, we can move the mic a little bit. There we go. You good? Feel comfortable?
I'm quiet, too, naturally.
We good?
Yep.
Okay. He'll cut that
can
part
we curse,
out.
Too?
Yeah, fuck yeah. Yeah, please. Yeah, no, go for it. We'll do it at the same time.
Fine.
So if somebody is curious about the journey from white belt to black belt, you know, what does that look like? How long does it take to get through each belt? We already talked about white to blue.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the timeline from each belt? So, like, white to blue, what do you see on average?
It's all about dedication and abilities. You know, it's the same thing. There's going to be some super athletic freaks.
Yeah.
Like BJ Penns of the world.
Yeah.
Who just, you can't deny them a black belt because they're going to these tournaments and they're winning the absolute division after a year and beating these black belts. Like, it's the best part about jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Is it's so testable.
Right.
Like, you can test it every day.
Yeah.
Every day you're on the mats. It's like, if you're an upper belt, there's like, there's a target on you.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be a brown belt and going in there and getting beat up by blue belts every day.
Right.
It's just not a thing that's supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So in the same way, if you're a white belt and you're beating up all these black belts in competition at the gym, like, it's just undeniable. You have to give someone, you have to move someone up.
Right.
So a little bit of a test is like, okay, are you a white belt? How do you do against the blue belts?
Yeah.
We see, like, okay, yeah. Like, you just tapped a blue belt today. Like, might have been a fluke, but when we're seeing it consistently and not even tapping the blues, but if you're holding your own,
yeah,
like, okay, it's time for you to move up.
Right.
Like, even like the older people, the less athletic people, it's the same thing. Like, how are you doing against these belt levels? Like, even if you're 60, like, you shouldn't be just getting demolished. At least, like, you're defending the correct way. You're not making these dumb mistakes.
Right.
Like, if you're a purple belt and you're doing this stuff when someone's on top of you,
mm-hmm.
right, that's not becoming of a purple belt. Like, yeah. We know that. And, like, people, like, this guy's ready to move up. And they just, and, like, I've had lower belts come up, like, this guy should be this belt. And they might not know, like, those little, like, nuances.
Right.
And intricacies of, like, he's still doing this. Like, it's just not that level.
Right.
So once you understand that, and I always say this, jiu-jitsu is it's the best thing for it's the most self I'm messing up.
It's okay. Don't it's
the you learn more from yourself than anyone is ever going to teach you.
Would you say that jiu-jitsu is like a fight against yourself more than anything?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, every day you're working on fixing those dumb mistakes that you're making.
Yeah.
You know, and I've had those drives home where I had gotten like tapped out like 7 times that day, and like you're just mad at yourself in the car.
Yeah.
And you try to keep telling yourself like, all right, this is just part of the process. Like,
right.
I'm making myself better. But you just go back the next day. There's, we say, an old Brazilian guy said it, but he kind of messed up the saying, but it's how we say it now. It's you have days and you have days.
Yeah.
You know, it's not good days and bad days, but you have days and you have days, you know?
I like that.
So sometimes you'll go and you'll just be king of the mat, and you'll kill everyone. And other days you go in and you're just getting beat up by these guys. So it depends on the day too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So let's talk about jiu-jitsu for self-defense. So recently there's a video going around of a guy from San Diego with an ADCC hoodie on, and a guy tried to pick a fight with him.
Yeah.
And it ends with the guy armbarring him and just completely tearing it.
He broke it?
Oh, he fucked this guy up.
That's crazy.
And you know, he's got the guy in an armbar and he's, you know, kicking him and he's hitting him and gets on into full mount and is, you know, elbowing him, and he fucks this guy up.
Yeah,
but the guy, he gave him every opportunity not to, but it's like the guy had a jiu-jitsu hoodie on. It's like,
and he messed with him.
Downtown, you know?
Yeah.
And, so what do you have to say about jiu-jitsu for self-defense?
It's especially the way I teach. I'm very, I start out with that stuff. I start out with like, okay, like this is, it's, I call it meat and potatoes jiu-jitsu. Like take the person down, get on top, control, and that's where you start.
Yeah.
Like, it's evolved a little bit to the sports stuff, where they're like, right away, pull guard and lasso this arm and, like, not
in
really,
a street fight?
That's like, they're just, schools are concentrating more on this stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's about sport
now
more, but I'm still very, okay, like, you learn a takedown, you learn how to get on top and control. Like, and I you know, I'm old school, I think, like in my thinking, no matter how much it becomes a sport, jiu-jitsu, I think still like you got to show that stuff.
Right.
You got to show self-defense, because when I started, there wasn't even really tournaments. I was actually doing kickboxing and I didn't even like the idea of having to punch or kick someone in the face.
Yeah.
But I did want to know how to defend myself. And I remember the first day, the first series I learned was a Hoist Gracie kick to the shin, come in, clinch, takedown, and get on top an armbar.
Yeah.
And like, I fell in love with it. I fell in love with like the simplicity and how simple it was.
And it's so crazy when even when I had just started training, I was a white belt, maybe like 1 or 2 stripes.
Mm-hmm.
And my buddy and I were just messing around. You know, he actually had a Nerf gun with a, like a pin in it.
Yeah.
And then, so if he shot me, it was going to stick in my arm. We're just assholes to each other, you know?
Funny.
And I grabbed his wrist. I got wrist control really quick and twisted his wrist, and he dropped the gun. And I just got to his back, lifted him up and slammed him down. And we're just messing around, you know?
Yeah.
But it happens. So, and he doesn't train, but it happened so fast where I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, I think people underestimate how much value you can get in a self-defense. And the cool thing is, when you see, what I've noticed is when you see people train, they don't want to fight. They'll do everything they can to stay out of it.
Yeah.
But if it happens, it's really good to know that if something comes close and, you know, you can dodge a couple punches or something.
And totally. And like, you know, Jocko talks about it too. It's like you punch someone in the face. In a movie, the guy drops and he's down for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And everybody's great and you walk away and you're the hero. But in real life, like, there's so many bad outcomes.
Yeah.
I've personally broken my hand.
Yeah.
In a fight, like punching.
Yeah.
As opposed to just being able to like control and get on top. And when you want, you can get out of there and nobody gets hurt. But punching someone, like, I watched this documentary. It was called like One Punch for Life or something. And these guys that hit someone once
and they hit their head
and
or something.
Hit their head and then they're in prison for life.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like self defense wise, jiu-jitsu is where it's at.
Yeah.
That's what made me fall in love with it.
Yeah, yeah, because you're, I mean, you're disarming them. Like, they can't, once you have control over somebody, they can't punch you, they can't kick you.
Especially if someone doesn't know.
Yeah.
You know, like if someone, like, go watch UFC, the first three of them.
Yeah.
And watch what jiu-jitsu does when people have no idea what jiu-jitsu is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The evolution of it has been cool to watch.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, no, it's a necessity now.
Yeah.
If you're going to be in the UFC or doing MMA.
Dude, well, how about that Max Holloway fight?
Dude, that was,
holy shit. That
guy's my hero.
Yeah, that was, and respect to Gaethje too, because that was, that last 4 seconds, 5 seconds, whatever, was just.
Neither of them had to do that.
Yeah.
Well, Gaethje more than Holloway, but they're both awesome.
But Holloway gave him an opportunity. He could have just backed up,
absolutely,
you know?
Yeah. He was like, hey, man, now's your shot. You got 10 seconds.
Yeah, and when he like kind of pointed down,
yeah,
like, let's
throw
fucking
it,
go.
Yeah, throw down.
We'll play a small clip on here, Carlos, if you could just make a note of the time to put that up there. That was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in a UFC fight. And I was with a bunch of guys from the gym. Dude,
every single person around the world watching that fight simultaneously at the same time went, oh.
Yeah, I looked around. Everybody was like this. Yeah, just,
amazing.
You know, yeah. It was, that was cool. And one thing I love about that is the respect, right? Those guys are such high-level fighters, but they have so much respect for each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing you see in MMA and jiu-jitsu is how much people respect people, even though there's a lot of egos and there can be disrespect and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that do you think is a foundation of martial arts?
I'm huge on it.
Yeah.
But you can see these guys, like, how... Even though they're training so much, like these guys, they still have these inflated egos. And I don't understand it. Like, I don't understand how you're not humbled by getting your ass kicked so much every day. You know that there's always going to be someone, no matter how small, no matter how, like, how they look, that could take you out.
Right.
You know, and it's just some of these guys, are like, there's a difference between ego and confidence, but some of these guys, like, I don't understand where that ego comes from.
Right.
Like, I have much more respect for the guys that are just the humble guys, you know, they talk with their actions.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Those are my kind of guys.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Like we were saying earlier, speak softly and carry a big stick.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Man. So what's the worst jiu-jitsu injury you've ever seen?
Oh man. We had a guy at the gym. I won't say his name, but he had a patented move in practice, which you're not supposed to do. Scissor takedown. Jump into them and like scissor the body.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to land you in like a leg lock position. But more times than not, it's like the end of the person's knees.
Yeah.
Because their knees just. And this guy was like a professional MMA fighter too, so he should have known better. But he did it to like four people, to where their knee went just sideways, the way it's not supposed to go.
Yeah.
And I saw him do that to three people, and I don't have the stomach for that. Like, I see something like that, and I'm like, oh no, thanks. I gotta walk away.
Yeah.
Yeah. But those are gross. The scissor. So if you're at a tournament that allows scissor takedowns, just stay away from it.
It's not even worth it, you know, like...
Not for the $5 medal.
Yeah. what do you think about participation trophies?
Nah, don't do it. No.
In either my first or second tournament, I lost. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, got destroyed. Mm-hmm. And I still, because there was only a couple people in my division, mm-hmm. got a medal and I threw it away.
No, don't do that.
Yeah.
No.
Don't throw it away?
No, throw it away.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. I was like, why? I just lost. Why am I getting a medal? Mm-hmm. Like, fuck that.
It's funny because I have my silvers and my bronzes, and I make those the most visible. I put my golds away.
Yeah.
And my golds are in my closet.
Yeah.
My silver and my bronzes, like, I wake up and I see those.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, I should have got gold.
Yeah.
I should have won that tournament.
Yeah.
So I made that a point to make those the most visible ones that I have to wake up and see.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's good. Like, I feel like we learn more from our negative things. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I, you know... You learn when you do well, but I've learned way more from in tournaments from when I got smoked than when I did well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I thought of it. Jiu-Jitsu is the most self-correcting martial art in the world.
Yeah.
You know, self-correcting is the word I was looking for. But you only do something stupid a certain amount of times before you have to change it for you're like, wow, this is dumb.
Yeah.
And eventually
I keep getting fucked up.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what do I, if I keep doing this.
Yeah. Or this is for me. I'm still like, I don't know why instinctively I put my arms out like this and get arm barred all the time.
And just little tiny things that you don't even realize, but your body just does it automatically. Like when you come up on something, instead of coming up like this, you know, you become more like this. Just a little head turn.
Right.
Right there, like, so you don't get choked.
Yeah.
And eventually you might not even realize you're doing it.
Right.
Your body moves for itself.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is it like being, because you've been at Victory for so long, like 14 years, right?
14.
Yeah. So what is it like training consistently with guys like Dean Lister, Jocko Willink, all of these high level MMA and jiu-jitsu guys?
I mean, I loved it. It's you have no choice but to step it up. You know, you're only as good as the other guys in the room.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're coming in and you're beating everyone up, like that's great, but you got to challenge yourself. You know, so you got to find guys that are going to tear you up and make you better.
Right. You know? Right.
So like when I first got there, I didn't even know. I moved from New Jersey and I didn't even know that San Diego was like a Mecca.
Yeah.
And I just walked into Victory and I walked upstairs. They were giving me a tour and they were like, I was like, is that Dean Lister? He was showing a footlock. And they were like, yeah, anyway, that's the bathroom. I was like,
no big deal.
Good. I'll sign up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll sign up. I'm good. And because I wanted to work on my leg lock game. I knew that. And this is 14 years ago.
Right.
Because I knew it was a huge piece missing.
Right.
And I got there and I say I was a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. And I was a white belt in leg locks.
Oh, okay.
Because we weren't allowed to do them.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was dumb.
Like, really?
Not being allowed to do like something major like that, that some competitions would allow you to do.
Right.
Like, and I knew it was a huge piece missing. So
yeah,
the first like year I was just getting beat by these blue belts who had been training there. Cause it was like, I was like new at jiu-jitsu in the leg lock game.
Yeah.
And eventually I learned, like I first started defending. I knew how to defend them.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing, this, you know, but you do that with your legs.
Yeah.
If you leave your legs out here, they're going to take them.
Yep.
Pull them back when you need to, you know, but it's, I couldn't imagine being at a different spot than showing up at Victory and training there.
Yeah.
The guys there and the caliber, it was just what I needed.
Yeah. Yeah, San Diego, like you said, it's a Mecca, and I didn't know that either. And it's just crazy, like, when you think about and then you look at people who train, like, you look at some, you know, guys who are really good, and then you think, like, if I saw you on the street, I would have no idea that you could just go fuck somebody up in a heartbeat, you know?
It's so funny. Some of the guys there, and we have an old guy named Gordon. Sorry, Gordon, if you're listening to this. And like a little fancy guy named Talon. And we always joke, we're like, imagine being in the line in Starbucks and like you're with your friends and you pick a fight with these guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just beat you up in front of all your friends like, without even trying. Like, he's so unsuspecting, some of these guys.
Yeah.
You know, Mikey Musumeci.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Like, that guy, I could just tear you up.
Like, yeah.
That guy would beat me up, no problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, and just, you're like, oh man, these nerds, they're taking over. We're messing up the balance of power. These nerds are taking over.
Yeah. It's good. I mean, you see, it was so funny seeing Zuckerberg at UFC 300.
So funny, trying to be human.
Yeah. He's like, what do I do with my hands? I'm not a robot. See, I had a knee injury. See, I'm human.
Yeah, see.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. It's but it's cool. And jiu-jitsu is a very welcoming thing. I think that a lot of people think that when they show up, like even for me who had a little bit of wrestling experience, when I showed up, I was so nervous of like, oh, what are they gonna think of me? And then your ego comes into play. And then you realize, like, when you see some of the people that are here and some of the friendships that come out of this, where you're like, you and you would not be friends outside of here. Yeah, it's just crazy.
Yeah. You got some blood brothers in there.
Yeah, literally. Know,
like,
yeah.
Like some of the best relationships I have.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
From the gym.
Right.
Just what you go through with those guys in there is like, it's hard to explain to your friends outside of jiu-jitsu. There's those memes. It's like when your regular friends meet your jiu-jitsu friends.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? It's a different kind of bond.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's crazy because, you know, it's one of those things, like how you develop friendships at like a work environment, mm-hmm. you know, you just see people so consistently, mm-hmm. but there's something about like the physical, you know, when you're physical with somebody, it's not just like you're lifting weights, but you're literally like fighting, like yeah, totally. The combat yeah. element. I don't know. It just uh-huh. brings a different kind of bond. I've noticed.
Mm-hmm. And it's a great balance. Like you want to put your ego aside, but you also want to beat the guy in front of you. Like, you know,
yeah.
it's like, and it's good to learn that balance too.
Right.
Like you both mutually understand like, okay, we're going to try to beat each other up.
Right.
And if you catch me, like that's a good thing.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So I, on this podcast, we talk about passion and mm-hmm. the things that you're really meant to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you went to law school, you mm-hmm. were going to be a lawyer, and were you a lawyer?
For a very brief period.
Yeah. But you didn't like it.
No, I hated it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about that and are you glad that you made that decision? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to law school. I had been doing martial arts since I was 10. And I knew back then what it did for me. And I always knew, like, someday I'm going to pay this back. I'm going to have a gym. I'm going to train there. I'm going to train other people. That's like, I could see that being my real career. And in the meantime, I'll go to law school and I'll make good money. That was my thought.
Yeah.
I'll make great money being a lawyer to where, like, it'll be no problem. I'll have all this money. I can open up a gym. And it's not exactly how it panned out.
Yeah.
I was miserable putting that tie on. I was miserable doing homework for a living. And I came out to San Diego. This was in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I came out to San Diego for a week. And I was like, I'm making a life choice right now. I'm going to come out here. I'm going to train with these awesome guys. And I'm going to end up training people at a gym.
Yeah.
And I was just very fortunate.
Yeah.
Very fortunate. That's how it worked out. And I just left the law field. I had two suitcases. I came out here on a plane and just made it happen.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, they say burn your bridges.
Yeah.
I just didn't give myself an option.
Yeah, burn the ships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was like, I'm all in this or nothing. I'm not going back to being miserable for a living.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's, and you know what? That's what life is about, is like finding what you're really meant to do and then mm-hmm. going all in. And when you burn the ships, like even for like opening up this podcast studio, which we're renting out to other people as a business, mm-hmm. you know, I had to leave myself no other option. Like, I just invested so much money into this where I'm like, this can't not work out, you
yeah,
know?
Totally.
And when you do that, and when God or the universe sees that you're all in, mm-hmm. other doors open up. Like, once you trust yourself totally. And you trust that you're on the right path, yeah. it's crazy what will happen. And, like, you ended up at Victory and seeing Dean Lister and, like,
huge.
You know, it's yeah. and you've had a great run with Victory, and now you're on your way to Florida. So. Yeah. What's next for you?
So I'm going to be the head jiu-jitsu instructor at a UFC gym in Largo, Florida. It's just a great opportunity, and I'm taking it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited for the little change.
Yeah.
New chapter.
Yeah, and you get to build out a whole program. So yeah. So UFC gyms, are they franchises, or how does that work?
It's a franchise. I don't want to... say something that I'm not 100% sure of.
Sure.
But the guy is opening. It's a huge, humongous, crazy, awesome facility. There's going to be, like, cryo machines in there and
damn.
And weights and all this stuff. A huge facility is opening up, and it's, like, and he's bringing on, like, these awesome coaches, this yeah. awesome staff, like, some of the coaches that are going to be there. I was like, wow, that guy's, I know that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm very fortunate, again. I've been very fortunate with the opportunities
yeah.
that I've been given.
Sounds like I'm going to have to take a trip to Largo.
Dude.
I'm coming down for sure. I will be there.
So crazy, like houses in Florida.
Yeah.
They're a little cheaper than San Diego houses.
Just a little bit, right? Yeah.
And I might get a house there and just like extra rooms for people that want to come out and come train at the place, because it's going to be awesome. I'm excited.
Yeah, good for you. That's cool. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited, and I wish you the best going mm-hmm. forward. Everybody, please pick up a copy of Adam's book, The ABCs of Jiu-Jitsu. You're supporting somebody local here in San Diego and somebody who is really an excellent coach, And where can they buy this? Amazon or?
Amazon or JockoPublishing.com.
JockoPublishing.com. And if you guys look in the description, whether you're watching this on YouTube or you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, go to the description, leave a review on this podcast, and follow this man. We're going to have all of his socials listed below. Go and follow him, follow his journey, and you're going to wish that you did a long time ago, because I have a feeling you're going to blow up even more than you already are. So, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. And can you leave our audience with one last positive message?
If you're feeling like you're stuck or you're not enjoying what you're doing in life and really down, and you're questioning whether or not to make a move or not to change something, just do it. You know, just do it. Just kind of have the guts and go for it, because you're going to wish that you did if you don't do it.
Yeah. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate it.